Good morning. Welcome to our Good Friday service today. It's been our tradition on the Friday before Resurrection Sunday to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross when he paid our penalty by shedding his blood for our sins in order that we might be justified in the sight of a holy God. Today we're going to hear different men in our congregation read the account of Christ's crucifixion from the Gospel of Mark. We'll sing a number of songs appropriate to that theme. And toward the end of our service, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper, which we do, as Jesus said, in remembrance of him. If you came in today and you passed the tables that held the elements for the communion service that we'll have, or our Lord's Supper in just a little bit, you are free to be dismissed during our first song that we'll sing together shortly. And as we stand in just a little bit, we'll ask that you fill in any seats that might be toward the middle of your section. We have some folks who are in the back who need seats. And hopefully we'll be able to accommodate those folks. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 3 that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. My hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me. He paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. Please stand together as we sing.
After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, he sat at the table. A woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they had killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and say to him, one by one, "Is it I?" Another said, "Is it I?" He answered them and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God."
Before we pray, Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." Let us bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, today is not a holiday, but a solemn day that we pause and we remember. We remember what our Savior endured, and every step led him to this point. Christ set his face towards Jerusalem, knowing what was to come. Angels and prophets and kings longed to look into these things. Prophecies foretold of a suffering Messiah who would die for his people. The Lord was going to redeem a people unto himself, purchasing them with the precious blood of the Lamb. One hymnist states, "It was my sin, it was our sin, that held him there until it was accomplished." We recognize our rebellion and our transgressions. We are wretches and utterly incapable of saving ourselves. Our best efforts are filthy rags. We needed your righteousness credited to our account. Your Son went to the cross, taking the wrath that we deserved for our lawless deeds. When a person calls on the name of Jesus to be saved, your death paid for that person's sin and rebellion, full recognition a crime has been committed against you, and you give them your righteousness. What an exchange. What grace. What mercy. You make a wretch your treasure. We thank you for the gift of your Son going to the cross and making this all possible. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And may we reflect and may we pause to understand the importance of this day. Convict us of our sin and areas that we are not living in obedience to your word. May we throw off every sin that hinders and entangles us and fix our eyes onto you, our Savior. Continue your work of sanctification in our lives, making us daily more Christ-like. And may we be willing participants. May we be like soft clay in our Lord's hands. We also remember you have given us the task to your people to warn and to share the good news with others, to make you known. You will judge the living and the dead. Those who do not know or reject you as Lord and Savior will indeed bow a knee to you and confess that you are God. But by that time, it will be too late. They will go to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place prepared for the beast and fallen angels. May we be diligent in telling and warning. May we not grow weary. May we share the bad news, but may we share the good news of what our Savior has done for us. Grant us boldness and the hunger to share what you have done. And we pray for the lost. Lord, please open their eyes that are blinded, hearts that are hardened. Remove the veil from their eyes. Prepare their hearts to receive the good news. Burden our hearts for the lost around us. And may they come to a saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'll continue our singing today with the gospel song, The Old Rugged Cross. May what we do today be yet another opportunity for us to remember what Christ did for us on the cross, that we cherish that cross until one day we see our Savior face to face.
I will plead to And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Is it enough? The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew a sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him and fled.
Is at the cross that death is crushed. To death, life is mine to live. Won through the selfless love of our Savior at the cross. Let's sing the power of the cross.
Mark 14:53-72. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' Jesus said, 'I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, 'What further do we need have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?' And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, 'Prophesy,' and the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.' But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And when he thought about it, he wept."
Romans 8:1 tells us that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're promised in Scripture that sinners who are plunged beneath the blood of Christ lose all their guilty stains. Let's sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood."
Redeem me from that bed. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowds that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last.
We sing a song that brings out the truth that Jesus died, and he didn't deserve it. We were the ones who had sinned. He had done no sin. Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? We're thankful that he did. Shall we sing, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed?"
Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that, he cried out like this and breathed his last. He said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Josie and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph observed where he was laid.
Our sin had left a crimson stain, the songwriter said. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. Ready to observe the Lord's table, the Lord's supper. Before we do, we are going to sing a song that will help us draw our minds to the purpose for this observance around the table of the King. Let's sing the communion hymn.
Sins away, slain for us, and we remember the blood.
Apostle Paul is explaining the gospel, which means good news. And he begins to explain the gospel in 1 Corinthians 13 by saying Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It doesn't sound like good news to talk about someone's death. We call today Good Friday. I wonder if people who do not know the scriptures would wonder why we would gather together and call a day good when the founder of our faith died. And as we just read, he didn't just die of natural causes. He was put to death in a gruesome way. We become accustomed to a cross being a piece of jewelry, something that is very common. But the cross was a symbol of gruesome execution. No one in the first century would wear a cross. No one would glory in something so bloody and gruesome and shameful and painful. But when Paul says this is good news, he does add that phrase, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that's what makes it good. It's not that he died. It's that he died for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means that we deserved a penalty, that we deserve God's wrath and judgment because of our sin. And the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as we were reading Mark's gospel, there was one sentence read that is just kind of stuck in between the narrative. But Mark points out something, interestingly enough, that didn't take place at Golgotha, the place of the skull where Jesus was crucified. But he mentions one line of something that happened in the city of Jerusalem on the other side of town. He simply states, "And the veil was torn in two from top to bottom." The temple was a place of worship and sacrifice, but the temple was meant to communicate that there is a holy God and we can't just approach him as sinners. And there were all these curtains and barriers, again, as a symbol to say, well, you can't just easily come to God. There was the holiest place where sacrifice was offered once a year. Only the high priest could go in. And there was a thick curtain, a veil, communicating that no one can come into the presence of God. But when Christ died on the cross, when he breathed his last, Mark tells us that something happened. That the veil was torn not from the bottom where man is, but from the top. God himself tore the veil. He made a way to him. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's why the death of Christ is good news. And that's why today is Good Friday, because we can come to God and we can one day spend eternity with him. But only one way. Only if Christ died for our sins. Only if he paid the penalty. Only if he was judged by his Father in our place. Through faith in Christ, your sins can be forgiven. And you can rejoice in the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. If that is true of you, that you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to participate in the Lord's Supper. If somehow you missed the elements, they are on the table in the lobby. You could get those at this time. We have the bread and the cup. We read from Mark's gospel that this was what Jesus and his disciples ate in that last supper as they celebrated the Passover. It was a holiday commemorating a rescue of the people of Israel many years earlier, and a Passover lamb was slain. Jesus, though, explained to his disciples that he would be the one whose body would be broken. It would be his blood that would be shed for many. And so he instituted this supper as a way to remember with sober grief the suffering of Christ and what he did on our behalf, and also with joy as we remember that Christ did that for us, that our sins may be forgiven. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are welcome to join in this supper together with our church family. Would you take a moment to thank God that he demonstrated his love for you, that Christ died for your sins, that he gave himself, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we do thank you for what you have done for us. And as we remember with the bread and the cup, we have grateful hearts for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul declares to the church in Corinth, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It was that very next day that his body was indeed broken, that he did give it for us. As he had previously said, the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And then Paul continues to instruct, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then Paul writes, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This is not only a message that we remember, it's a message that we proclaim. We proclaim it to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We point one another to Christ with whatever's going on in our lives, that we have victory in the death of Jesus Christ, that we have forgiveness only in him. And we proclaim it to our city, to our province, throughout the world, that Christ saves sinners, that he gave his life for us. Let's bow in prayer and then we will sing a closing hymn. Father, we remember. We were not present physically, and yet we were present, because as Jesus died, he knew us. He died for us. We died with him. We're thankful for that symbol of the veil being torn. That even today we can pray and have access directly to you through Jesus Christ, our mediator. And so we thank you. We remember that we are undeserving. That we deserve your eternal wrath in the lake of fire forever. We have offended a holy God. And so we approach you reverently, realizing that it is only by your grace and mercy that we are your children. We come humbly and we proclaim. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. And so we believe. We believe that your Son came to earth, lived a sinless life on behalf of our sinful lives, and took the penalty that we deserve. We declare that we are followers of Christ. And we pray that as we share that truth with others, that you would draw them to your Son as well, that they may understand the good news that Jesus saves. So, Father, we pray that we would be faithful. We look forward to Sunday to rejoice that your Son did not remain in the grave. And all God's people say, amen. Let's stand together to sing one more hymn of our completeness in Christ alone. Thank you.
Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a good day.